Okay. We're gonna call the meeting to order. And Mr. Klein is the invocation.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to meet, just give us wisdom and making policy decisions for this fine facility. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Terry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Klein.
Here.
Jeremy Zawiski. Howard Roebucker.
Here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
We have four.
How you doing?
Okay.
Must be Quest people.
Consideration of the minutes from February 23rd.
Well, we have a correction.
Oh.
Yeah, the, which we discussed while you were over there hobnobbing.
Sorry.
Paragraph four is inaccurate. It's Jerry McLaughlin nominated Terry Crawford as chairman. And Chuck Savage was nominated as vice chairman, Charles A. Savage III.
I move that as amended, the minutes be approved.
I'll second it.
Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Nice catch, Counselor.
No. Actually, Crawford.
No, Mr. Crawford.
What?
I won't take credit.
I didn't do that.
You caught it.
Hey, we're in trouble now. Unfinished business. Matt?
On the terminal pre-design, we had three workshops and they were well attended. First one was essentially for the tenants, second one for city council, the third one's for the general public. The last one for the general public, it was standing room only, maybe had 35, 38 people here. The majority of, if you weren't in that one, the majority of the comments were when was the airport going to receive commercial service? And some of the other comments, why isn't the terminal going to match the tower is another one. There were some comments about the bathroom space. That's generally speaking, that was the over, the common theme between all three workshops was more commercial leasable office space and increase the number of bathrooms instead of just one, one general large area. So we're looking at that. Michael Baker, the consultant, is finalizing the draft report summary of those three meetings. They've yet to provide us any kind of a draft, so staff hasn't reviewed it yet. We expect it tomorrow, in which case we'll have a conference call with the consultant and get a final report printed up. What I'd like to do, we've got it. Got the report scheduled to be presented to the City Council on April 18th. I'd like to schedule a special meeting of the Airport Advisory Board prior to that meeting so that we can review specifically that report, whatever it says, and have some sort of a recommendation from this body to send upstairs to the City Council. So once we get that,
what date are you?
Well, I haven't picked one yet. I'm not sure. I just wanted to float the idea to
in late April?
Yes.
Prior
to April 18th. It could be the 17th.
I'll leave the 18th for China for the balance of the month.
Okay. Perhaps what about Thursdays are always generally good. How about Thursday, April 13th?
That could work for me. But you're,
same bat time?
It's like when you cast a net, you're going to catch somebody, but you're going to miss somebody else. So.
Yeah.
But I know I'm gone the last 2 weeks, 10 days.
What date are you looking at again, sir?
April 13th for a special meeting to go over the report of the workshop.
What time, sir?
Same time, 1:30.
How about lunch? You can't do it. Are you every week you have?
I have a Lions Club Thursday. I can barely make it here. That means that we're about one.
I have Rotary on Thursday, and I could eat here instead of there.
How about Wednesdays? Do you have a conflict on Wednesday at lunchtime?
Oh, I got to go to lunch at Sunny's with all
my. I know, we got to eat somewhere. How about Wednesday at lunchtime?
Wednesday would be fine.
We could do Wednesday noon here, and I'll tell you, the city will be happy to provide lunch.
Almost any Wednesday you could find Mr. Fine and I at Sunny's. So that's a good place to meet.
So,
catered at Sunny's, and we'll be here.
So the proposal is to have a special board meeting on Wednesday, April 12th, at noon in this location to discuss the final workshop summary report provided by Michael Baker.
Okay. Very good.
Awesome. Mr. Ken Whitehead and myself, we drove to Orlando yesterday and met with representatives at FDOT and with the FAA. We talked about future projects. We also discussed the terminal project. They being FDOT, haven't gone through that type of a workshop program, a charrette process, for any of the previous terminal projects, and they greatly appreciated the experience. They're talking about doing that for any of the future terminal projects, making a requirement. They really like the idea of the open flow of ideas and being able to put it out there for the general public to comment on, and you know, the airport tenants, and then finally the city council. They really enjoyed it. We talked a little bit about what is eligible to be constructed and what isn't, and they don't have a definitive yes or no type of a list to use. So it'll be actively involved in the design, and when we go to 60%, well, 30%, and then 60%, 90%, and then the final design drawing. So they'll be reviewing those as well. And to give you an example of what might be pushing the boundaries, you know, if we're asking for super thick blue-tinted glass on the outside, they may not pay for something extravagant like that. They may have a dollar amount for regular, normal glass, but anything above that for an upgrade, so to speak, that we would be on the hook for that. Sir?
I noticed there was an article in the paper lately about the villages and how fast it's growing. Did you all see that article?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think it said 123,000 right now. That's right. What I'm getting at is we're a lot closer to the villages than Orlando is, or Gainesville. So maybe we could get LM service faster than we think.
Well, the dynamics, I spent a lot of time at that and did a lot of study and went to consultants and visited every airline at the time that we had. A couple of them are no longer in business. But we're kind of in a
in
an environment based on what the airlines do, how they operate, and we're a victim of our location, in that even with the way it is now, we're an hour and 15 minutes from the Orlando airport, so that starts to make it difficult. The villages is that much closer, so attracting air service to another location, unless you find an airline like the ones that are kind of different operators, like Allegiant, might go to an airport that normally somebody wouldn't be going to. But since they're in Sanford, they're not coming here. But there could be others in the future. So I'm not saying it's not possible. The dynamics are going to change. Florida grows. Got airports closer together. Our airport is much better located to be a regional airport than is Gainesville, in my opinion. And studies have borne that out. But Gainesville's not going to give up on the idea of their airport. So not easily anyway. So there's a lot of dynamics there. Time perhaps will change that. But the airlines, the way they're set up now and the way they operate, they're not really looking to fight to expand into many cities. That's the last kind of thing we came up with. You're down to, you know, basically three or four carriers if you count Southwest. So it's a different landscape than it was.
Oh, yeah.
But we started that in 85, and we had a consultant that showed us, and they were top-line airline consultant, that this was a really, really good. There's a lot of people in Marion County at that time and now extrapolated forward that fly out of here and fly back, or people who visit here. But, you know, the airlines are capturing that market already, and there's just fewer of them. They capture it with the programs they've got, and they want to service less cities and fly more people, basically, is their approach. The idea of even Gainesville's in their system is, they do that, but that's not what they'd really like to do. So, it doesn't hurt anything, but, you know, that's you're absolutely right. And the other thing about the population base of the villages, it's retirees, and the retirees, even then, when we look at that pool of travel, leisure travelers, and there's a lot of flexibility in travel. Airlines want business travelers who need to go somewhere tomorrow, right, and will pay the higher ticket price to go there.
Mm-hmm. Terry, isn't the majority of the expansion of the villages south?
Yeah, not this.
No, they're coming into. They just bought 6,000-7,000 acres in Sumter County, right by Wildwood, right across the fence.
But it's going south.
It's going south. It's not coming. They're not building up 441 north.
No, but on the interstate.
In a few years, though, they'll have some more interchanges that will make the villages closer.
Well, the villages are going to be right next to the interstate there in where the Elkahumka Service Plaza is. They're building, going to build in that field right across from it. They just bought 3,000 or 4,000 acres, mm-hmm, 7,000 acres, some each piece of property there.
So we need more people.
But I wouldn't, unless it's an airline like an Allegiant or like Southwest was, who's looking for an alternate location to serve a market. Those will come along, and there's still some of them out there that might pop up and be looking for a way to serve that leisure market or what's here. That's going to be, as opposed to an American, United, or Delta, or Southwest, it's going to be an Allegiant. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're a no-frills, low-cost airline. They charge you for everything.
You know, if an airline wanted to fly out of here, I say it all the time, if an airline wanted to operate out of the Ocala Airport, they could do it tomorrow, based on the way we operate, our inspections, the FAA operating certificate, our firefighting capabilities, our security, things like that. And every day, every year, as every year goes by, we get more and more attracted to that. We're building up our infrastructure. We're one step closer every day to building the terminal building. We get that behind us. We can look at other larger projects, the West Side Taxiway and whatnot. Get some infrastructure down on that side, and every day we get closer to that, and the airport becomes more and more attractive to not only airlines, but maybe even other businesses as well.
The only thing we really liked is the airlines wanted back when we talked to them, now they like the towers, so now we have one, is the firefighting. Own airport, you know, fire station. And it could very well happen, because that's, but it's...
If I can speak to that, we did discuss an on-airport fire station with the FAA yesterday's meeting. If I recall correctly, it's scheduled to happen in the year 2020 or 2021, I don't recall. It would be a single day dedicated to our facility, airport rescue firefighting. It wouldn't be a joint use facility, just a single use.
Well, a joint use facility with the city would make the most sense, because you could put it on 60th Avenue and have a back door, but that's been talked about a lot.
Yeah.
We almost, Dick Lewis tried really hard to get the one that ended up in the community college, on the campus there. It would actually make more sense even now to be, on the airport property. But all those things could happen, and that wasn't a make-or-break thing even back then. But I'd like to see it happen. There's a lot of time. I need to put the books in somebody's archives, because we've got a lot of studies and things that are dated now. But it was amazing, the approach that the city took. We spent a lot of time, effort, and money, talking to airlines. And we had a limited amount of success. We actually had Eastern... looking at coming back in here. They had been a carrier here originally, since 46 went away in 80, whatever it was, 70, whatever it was. If they didn't go broke about the same time we had them on the hook. It was our commuter, Bud Eastern.
Frank Lorenzo?
Hmm?
Frank Lorenzo?
Yeah, Lorenzo came along and messed up everything. Continental Bud Eastern. So that was in 92.
So I don't have any more on the terminal pre-design. I'm looking forward to just keep the ball rolling forward on the project. April 18th, the City Council will give the go-ahead to the engineer, the consulting engineer, architect, to develop two design schematics, conceptual schematics, some vertical elements. We'll bring those back to council for their approval at the June meeting. Moving forward.
The lease on the T-Anger lease?
Yes.
To also under unfinished business.
So we went through, redlined the lease. The city attorney has not seen this yet. But I thought maybe I'd just go through and paragraph by paragraph on all the changes, just briefly mention them and discuss them. So starting at paragraph 3.1. The address has changed to our downtown finance department on the third floor at City Hall. That's where all the revenue checks get sent from now on for everything. T-hangers, lease agreements, ground lease agreements, things like that. I added 3.3 deposit. Right now we do not require a deposit, but if we're going to change a T-hanger lease, we might as well talk about the possibility of starting to requiring a 1 month deposit.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea, but at the same point in time, we've never had any trouble leasing the T-hangers, so keeping up with deposits and maintaining that from an accounting standpoint probably would trump doing it the way we're doing it. If I was operating it myself, I'd say I wouldn't worry about a deposit. But
From a staff perspective, the deposit would, ensure a seamless transition. It would hold the tenant accountable to what they agree to in the lease. If they violate the lease, they lose the deposit.
They'll get the deposit back.
Right.
That is
if they leave the place trash and we have to clean it, they lose the deposit. But when we didn't have a T-hanger wait list,
non-residential would have to be interest.
It was, and a tenant gave us like a 2-day notice that they were leaving. We really had no recourse. We had no recourse that they, and we couldn't fill it right away. Now we have how many people?
29.
We have 29 people on the wait list. Mm. So if somebody gives us a 2-day notice, they're supposed to give us 30. If somebody gives us a 2-day notice, we're gonna fill it in 2 days.
At what point do we consider building more when they have that kind of wait list?
Well, we've been in discussion with our city engineers to look at redirecting the stormwater runoff system in the existing T-Hanger campus, filling in the pond, if you recall, right there on 60th Avenue, sending all the stormwater runoff to the west into our existing network of swales and DRAs, and then building in, like off the ends of the existing T-hangers.
How many more could we put in?
25 units.
That makes the most sense because the infrastructure is already in place to handle that. A little more taxi way.
Otherwise, in our master plan, we're looking at doing a brand new T-hanger campus on the north end of runway 826, which will involve maybe a half mile or a quarter mile of roadway, electric utilities to bring everything right up in there. It would be a significantly more money to do that. The other issue is, our airport finances have been dedicated to the terminal project. And we really can't squeeze another dollar out of it until we get the terminal project done. But we're doing the planning now because we recognize the need. We've got to get some.
Well, it's a revenue stream you can tap into immediately, so there might even be an argument for, borrowing the money.
Take it to council, if you've got 25 people willing to come in and sign a lease.
Yeah.
And you walk in there with 25 potential leases, it's X number of dollars, laid on the counter.
That's what we did before.
Certainly an option, and once we have some hard estimates on what it'll take to do the stormwater runoff improvements and whatnot, we'll be able to run a better pro forma on doing some sort of a loan.
We try to get that part nailed down as quickly as we can, and maybe.
But they've got the information and they're working on it, so it's moving forward.
If you can build the 25 and make a higher rate of return on your cash than just sitting in the bank drawing nothing.
Yeah. We don't have anybody in the bank.
Well, I'm talking about the city, if they wanted to pull the loan.
Well, they used to be able to loan money from the electric fund. I'm not sure what they're set up with now. They had internal money.
Are all these on the wait list? They put up a deposit?
They did not.
I thought you were going to weed it out by asking them to put up a deposit.
Well, when you ask to get to the point, that's what we did before.
Well, then you don't know who's really interested in it unless they put up a deposit.
Well, if history repeats itself, half of the people on the wait list will go somewhere else when we require a deposit.
Yeah, that's what we found before. There was still plenty of people who were interested enough to build them.
Mm-hmm. Would 15 justify building 25?
I would think so. Because we would attract people from all over.
Yeah.
Other airports.
There's three buildings that you would extend?
Three or four.
Well, keep us advised on the feasibility of moving the drainage system.
I will. But as far as charging the deposit here, you want me to leave it blank? You want me to draft some language and
put it in? Go ahead and put it in 1 month.
One-month deposit?
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Okay.
That's a security deposit, right?
Yes.
Call it a security deposit.
Okay. And I'll get better language to put in there. Section 4.5. Tenant shall not use the premises for any commercial activity, and then we added except with express written approval by the airport. And the reason I put that in there, we have one individual, while they do not conduct customer type activity out of the tea hangar, they do video flight instruction, and they keep their aircraft there, and they base it out of that hangar, and they might do some video production and whatnot in the hangar, and then they take off, they fly, they videotape their stuff, and then they upload it and whatnot. But if you recall, we had a helicopter company that was a Charter 135 company. They kept the helicopter in the tea hangar, but they met the customers here at the FBO.
I think
so.
Case by case basis.
Yes. So that's what we added that.
Reasonable.
Under no circumstances will the sale of goods or services be, or services was deleted, and I replaced operated with conducted out of the hangar. So
I can't sell beer on my refrigerator anymore.
Yes, sir.
Can you give it away?
You can give it away.
Okay.
You can give it away.
I'm back to where I was.
Giving away beer?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about high school weight or something.
No. I have a built-in user, Eddie Martin. If I put beer in the refrigerator, it seems to go.
Okay, on paragraph 4.12, tenants shall not operate any motor vehicle in the airport apron, runway system, or taxiway alpha system at any time, except that the loading or unloading of aircraft on the FBO apron is permitted. The exclusive means of access to the airport premise will be through the Gate 3 at Shelter Aviation or Gate 4 at Airport Administration. That was added. What was deleted was the Landmark Aviation Gate via the T-Hangar Access Road, so we got a little bit more specific there. On 4.13, we added the last sentence, added, under no circumstance will tenant be allowed to park vehicle outside hangar unattended. We really want to encourage, if a T-Hangar tenant is here, they're going to use their airplane, pull the airplane out, put their vehicle inside the hangar. We don't want to, we don't want the vehicle to be an obstruction in the taxi lane hangar system. Moving down, paragraph 6.2, painting other than minor touch-up painting, and we added non-aerosol, of aircraft by tenant is prohibited in the hangar. So if they want to do touch-up painting with a brush or a fine brush, that'd be fine. We deleted 6.3. No maintenance or repairs other than preventative maintenance may be performed inside of a hangar. That was deleted in its entirety. And we also deleted tenant shall be permitted to perform only preventative maintenance on its aircraft. Wasn't really sure. Didn't think that we needed to clarify that. If we're going to allow maintenance to be done in the hangars, then we don't necessarily need to say that it's allowed. We can just delete the fact that it's disallowed, unless the board has any other suggestions.
What do you think, Randy?
6.3 and 6.4. These two right here.
I don't mind the provision for the maintenance, the way it was written. But you know, there's a dark hole that you start to get into, because there's home builders who actually build airplanes in hangars, and we've had that here. Mm-hmm. Actually, build a whole airplane there. Mm-hmm. Do we want that, or do we not want that? Well, as long as they don't paint it there, it doesn't create a real problem. I mean, I don't personally see that as a real problem. So, you know, but you get somebody who abuses it, you got to have something in the lease to work with. So,
yeah.
So if ANI comes in and does an inspection on my airplane, or an airplane changes some parts on it or something like that, or I as an owner want to change a tire or some of a battery or some of the things I can do, mm-hmm. all that needs to be allowed, specifically mentioned in that, or not specifically mentioned in that, versus not having any provision whatsoever.
Well, if we start listing what's allowed, then we're gonna have to list everything that's allowed.
How do you interpret your revised 6.3? That you can perform major repairs in the T-hanger?
By deleting it, it pretty much allows everything but painting. You want to build a home built in the hangar? You can do that.
Well, what's your goal? What are you trying?
The audience's suggestion is you leave the exception that you cannot do anything without the written approval of airport management, and then you have the T that Terry is suggesting, that if reasonable uses will be allowed by
Well, the other thing you get into is dope and fabric and, you know, those kind of things, which is done with a paintbrush, not an aerosol, perhaps. So, you know, but you do spray a lot of that, so that can be a problem. But you can't go everywhere and worry about everything. But if somebody wants to rebuild an engine in a T-hanger, then you got to have more flammables, because you got parts you got to clean, all those kinds of things. It gets to be a bit more problematic.
Is it problematic to have you as the dividing line there with the written approval?
No maintenance or repairs other than preventative maintenance may be performed inside of a hangar, except
unless
with express written authority by the airport.
What are you trying to prevent?
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to do is allow operators such as BHA Aviation to conduct maintenance on other people's aircraft inside the hangar. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all sorts of maintenance.
All right. Well, if that's the goal, then that's what you've accomplished. You've accomplished it.
what the goal we said last time also, if you put the shoe on the other foot, was, you know, we don't necessarily want to have a number of mobile aircraft mechanics working in a lot of T-hangers and doing that, because it essentially dilutes the base and makes it harder to have a quality shop on the field. So, I mean, it's kind of a catch-22. We got into that, we got into this half of this, and we got into the other and said we'll dilute the thing a bit so that we can have maintenance mobile mechanics like we have now. But once you do that, and we're already in that position now, somebody else can come over and do the same thing. We have no controlling, throttling mechanism. And if you have a half a dozen people doing that, or two people doing that, or one person doing that, and you really want to attract a quality shop, if I'm the guy coming to build a quality shop, and you got that, I'm going to say, no, it's either one or the other.
Well, we didn't permit them in our minimum standards, did we?
Yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't delete. We left the minimum standards.
We didn't touch the minimum
standards. Yeah,
so,
still not.
So if I got to have a hangar, and I got to have a ramp, I got to put a ramp, I got to do that, and I got to have insurance, and do all of the things to work on an airplane, and somebody else can come in and work out of the trunk of their car on an airplane, is that reasonable and fair? That's one test. To me, as somebody who wants to take over the shop, have a really first-class shop, and really invest in the airport, that's a disincentive to doing that.
Well, 6.3 implies that you can do major repairs on an aircraft.
Deleting it.
No, the one that you renumbered. Old 6.5, new 6.3.
Yes.
By saying that, that implies that it can be done.
And that in itself might be okay, so long as the way the mechanic gets on the airport is somewhat controlled. In other words,
so
if the maintenance shop wants to go
to... Is
that
an invitation to allow anybody to do major repairs in a T-hangar?
Interestingly enough, this is language that's been in the existing lease.
Yeah.
I didn't add that.
Yeah.
That's there.
Well, there's one, you know, the radio shops in the audience. I mean, you folks go and every now and then do a little bit of work on an airplane in the hangar. It's easier than moving it.
Yep.
Sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's good for them, good for me as the owner, good for everybody.
Yeah, it's convenient.
So, but you know, you don't want avionics people from all over working out of the trunk of their car coming and working out.
Not that way. I'd rather have. I mean, if it is allowed, I have no problem with the corporate jets because they have they don't have that capability at the time.
But you pay. They represent the airport, you know, you do, because you've made an investment here, and then somebody, as you say, is just working out of the trunk of your car, and there's now direct competition to him, and they don't have the overhead he has, that's just not fair for them or the maintenance shop.
Yeah, and the airport suffers in the process because we don't have good, viable radio shops and maintenance facilities and pop shops and all of the other ancillary kinds of things that we want to develop in the future.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have good avionics, but if
we
allow enough people in there, it'd be hard to compete.
I don't know if that's a major problem as much in avionics as it might be in
mechanics.
But, it's
far more because of what it takes to...
Yeah, I'm just using you as an example because I had a really conversation with somebody.
So that's how it came up. I think we should work on this as best we can and try to leave it. Let's improve what we had and not change it all that much. The idea of a mechanic being able to perform major maintenance is not a bad one, so long as we have a controlling mechanism for where he comes from. So I mean, how do you do that? We're back to where we started when we opened the can of worms.
What's your suggestion?
Well, look at 6.5 on the bottom here. And that was not added. That's been in the that was in the T hangar lease.
What's wrong with the way it was?
Well, because we have language that says no maintenance repairs other than preventative maintenance.
Define preventative maintenance.
You got a cylinder head that's gone. Before I take it up, I'm going to replace it.
Mm-hmm. Everything is preventative maintenance except the construction of a home built.
Yeah.
had one guy start up his engine for the first time about 2 weeks ago, to much fanfare, after building it, spending hours and hours and hours.
Days and months and years.
Yes, yes. So it was a glorious event. But I didn't have the heart to tell him that he was in violation of the T-hanger lease.
I built in his.
Yeah. It's not preventative maintenance. It's not really maintenance either, is it?
No, it's not.
No, it's building it. It's not. That's not maintenance.
I like the discretion that you had to go, well, it's really a
It's not maintenance, it's construction. It's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that we, you know, kind of take another look. Keep looking. There was some things like, you know, we're talking about a deposit, which makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
We never really needed it before. But on the other hand, it does have a purpose. I don't have a problem with it. The city can certainly keep up with the deposit, so that's not a problem. It gives you a hammer, a little leverage. And if there's other points in here.
So would you like me to keep paragraph 6.3?
That's really the only thing in here we're working on, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a lot of other changes. I don't know. I'll defer to the legal member of our
It's a policy question. It's not a legal question.
You do give some flexibility if you say without. Leave it in there, yeah. Comma, without express written permission from the airport.
If we get
those special exceptions would then be under his ability to do that.
I think something like that makes a lot of sense. That's what we've essentially been doing.
Yeah. And that way, the guy who's building the airplane, you know, if the airport goes, you know what, that's an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
Wait, is it landlord or is it airport? City. Okay. Something like that. And then perhaps maybe keep this deletion.
That doesn't cover you, does it, Paul? Mechanics certificate?
No, because I'm under a repair station license.
Holder of a mechanics certificate, repair station license. Or a repair certificate. Okay.
Okay. Scroll down and see if there's any more.
I didn't see any more.
Well, we'll take that, we'll run with that, send it to the city attorney for his review, and would you like to see it one more time before it goes to council?
Okay.
It would never hurt.
Yeah.
I'll bring it back next month.
The process is going to be such that it takes a while for that something like that to happen anyway. So.
And we'll discuss it further.
Okay. New business? Palmar lease.
Yes. Gabriel's Wing House, that's the LLC that was created for this development. They went through the site plan process with the city his current lease is for this parcel right here. It's right behind the airport administration hangar on the north end of the airport. Going through the site planning process, it got difficult with the stormwater containment because each, in that location, everywhere along this parcel in this property, the development needs to have its own stormwater pond because there's no real good way of conveying the water into our network system, so it needs its own network. So if we're looking at building individual hangars here, they're going to have individual ponds in that location. They talked about combining ponds with Mr. Little's hangar next door, and it got convoluted to the point where everybody threw up their hands. Dr. Pallmeyer took a look at other available options on the airport. I drove him around, and he settled on this location right here. This is the Alpha 7 intersection. Mr. Leon's hangar is here, and then Mr. Robert's hangar is here. It makes sense to have another corporate hangar in this location. It's primed for it, it's cleared for it, it's permitted for it. The size of hangar that Dr. Pallmeyer is considering was perfect for this site because it's closer to the runway. It can't be such a tall hangar, so a 60 by 60 in that size is perfect for it.
What about the property on the other side, the Hexaport? What's the situation with the... Does the Hexaport lease only have the one building in it, or was there more property associated with that? And that was originally designed, mm-hmm. I think it was for three or four Hexaports.
Originally, they were going to put another Hexaport over here and tie it into their existing access road.
I think it was more than that. I think there was another one in front of it between that and the taxi road.
I've only seen the plan for one, but they've given up on doing that. Several years ago, they renegotiated their lease. I think they have till the end of 2029 or somewhere around that, and it goes away. So unfortunately, you can't build anything right here because of the swale and the proximity to the other hangar. You could do some corporate hangar development here, but again, there's a lot of infrastructure work to be done. We would discount the property lease because of that. We'd reflect it appropriately. But right here, you know, this is a great spot for a much larger hangar than a 60 by 60 because you're further away from the runway.
I hate to get the whole idea behind the taxiway that we had at the north end, and when you were back, can you go back to the other slide? The original site that he was looking at back of your office. That taxiway was put in there to do exactly what we're doing. So, you know, the idea that we can't utilize that property is at a disadvantage to the city because that's prime rental property. I mean, that's a lot easier to deal with than any of this because it's inside, it's outside the fence. It's inside the fence. It's got lots of advantages. And there's at least two or maybe three more lots there, which was how that was originally laid out. Let me ask whether he does this or not and whether we go with this site. If when the city's looking at the stormwater situation with the large area behind the T-hangers, this is very close. If they could consider that in the same thing so that the city could essentially take the water from that T-hanger area,
mm-hmm.
I mean from that corporate hangar area, if we could take that water some way to our drainage areas, that would free up two or three more lots that we could be leasing.
Indeed, and the way to really develop this site right here would be to find a developer, or the city could do a master stormwater pond somewhere in this center area. You could do a pond in the RPZ for runway 26 on the other side there.
Yeah, because the other side of that taxiway is not eligible for any building because of the
RPZ, but you could store water there. The problem is fronting the money to do that type of development.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we go to fill up the DRA here,
we could certainly
dig a DRA over there.
We could. It'd be an option. But it doesn't solve Dr. Pallmeyer's issues right now. So
he can't build a hangar. The hangar that's on the site next door is much smaller than the one he wants.
His is actually going to be smaller than Mr. Little's hangar. This is a 90 by 70 right here.
Well, he's got a drainage retention area. What's the problem there? He wants more parking?
No, that you'd have a drainage here, and you'd have a berm in between. Say drainage berm, drainage berm, drainage berm. Each one permitted separately.
Well, when we're working on the project down here, we ought to work on that as a separate issue, because there's at least two more lots there. There's two more lots there. Mm-hmm. That aren't, if you had those lots up and ready and you could take the water and stormwater wasn't a problem, I bet you'd have three hangars on there in the next 2 years. And the revenue coming
from the audience.
Yeah. Our guest speaker.
Yeah, guest speaker. If the city was committed to provide water retention for Dr. Palmer's lot, I feel confident you could get a drainage easement over those temporary drainage easements. He could build on there because there's sufficient land. You don't have to go dig a water retention area and then have to later on fill it up, but you could just use a blanket easement across the balance of that. Construct the water retention area and then release the drainage easement. And we've done that in subdivisions where we had more land in there and we knew we were going to make a change. We didn't want to dig something and then have to turn around and fill it back up. Moving dirt is just very, very expensive, even if you're digging a hole over here and moving it over and filling another hole over here. Dr. Pallmeyer's urgency is now. That was just a thought, is if the board was wanting to have him at his location number one, that's a ability to do that. The city may go, well, you know, I don't really know if I want to put in a drainage easement, only if it was going to be temporary.
Until we construct those improvements.
Yeah, you just temporarily drain it across, sheet feed it across the ground. There's a lot of sand over there. It's mm-hmm. not going to be overflowing anywhere. But the city would have to be committed before you'd want to put that easement there, because once you put that, quote, temporary drainage easement across there, you're not going to be able to use those lots until you actually construct something else. It just was thought. And if that doesn't work, then you go to alternative feed.
I know that that wasn't discussed, but I can certainly float that idea. And if it's not accepted, then...
Wouldn't that have to be approved by the water management district, though?
Well, absolutely you would. Yeah. Because they are, if he's going to have to build a DRA there...
He's still going to have to go to the Swift Mud.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to the Swift Mud for that.
Swift Mud, this side of 75.
Yeah, so, but if Swift Mud will do a temporary drainage, they won't call it a temporary. You're going to have to change the permit from that to a DRA, but as long as it's holding the same capacity.
To me, if I was going to build a hangar and it was looking at those two sites, that's a far superior site on the left than the one over there, just from the access of the roads. It's better for the airport, less traffic on the airport. People can come and go to that just like they do the other hangar there without affecting
them. What's the maximum? The way I have to look at it is by leasing them the property to the south, what are we giving up? I mean, what could be built? Could it be built any closer to the runway?
Can't. You can kind of see this dark spot right here.
Yeah.
This is a DRA that serves these two properties and this property.
Yeah.
The water's conveyed through here, crosses under, yeah, and it snakes this way. So you really can't build anything closer. We've got this hangar here, and it's roughly in the same line. This is about a 30-foot tall hangar right here. And that's pretty much as close to the runway as you can get with a 30-foot tall hangar.
So that's already... I mean, that wouldn't take any time to permit with Swift Mud. Then.
Not at all.
It's already...
The DRA is already designed to handle that.
Yeah.
And because it's all connected, this DRA, this, everything, the swale, it's all connected, and it goes all the way down. We have excess capacity in our existing system.
Yeah,
there's no DRA that has to be expanded for any development.
Yeah. Well, what about... behind the DRA, how far to the north does that DRA go?
Right here?
Yeah.
Right, you can just kind of see.
All right, can we build anything to the north of that?
You can, no, that, you can.
That swale, I mean, that ditch goes all the way to the north.
Here's a swale, but what you could do is you could build on the south end of Alpha 6 a row of hangars and have it access this taxi lane right here. It slopes off pretty quickly right in this area. So your building would stop right about where the point of the arrow is. So it would, the building would basically do something like that, and it would be.
But if you'll recall, that other hangar kind of slipped in, and we had our druthers, that hangar to the north.
But you could build to the west of that site?
No.
Nothing to the west?
No, nothing. This would be too close to the runway.
You can build a ramp there, but you can't build any from the building.
Precisely.
Oh, okay.
And that was the issue with the hangar to the north there. That one should have never been there, because we're going to, when the new terminal building's built, the next thing we're going to need is going to be more ramp to the left of the terminal building. And that hangar is going to be cut into the terminal. It won't hurt anything. But had we built that row of them there, we would have given up a lot of ramp space.
Maybe the FDA will buy it.
They're going to need or want more ramp space there eventually.
Yeah.
To the left of their building.
Well, I'll tell you what happened a couple weeks ago when we get to the airport update. We ran out of room on the ramp.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't think that'll prejudice anything, I know that he's awfully PO'd about how long this has taken to.
Indeed.
And threatening to walk and all that.
So I here, knowing. Taking your comments into consideration, I'd like to float that idea to him and talk to our city stormwater people, because he's done a lot of the work there on this site already, and to start new is going to delay or add maybe another 60 days right here. But if we can do that temporary easement and sheet flow it off in this area while committing to a master drainage pond in this area, connected to this development of the T-Hanger project, if I can take everything all together and make the deal happen, that might be the best.
Just remember, temporary, the only thing to the water management district, it's a drainage easement.
Okay.
It's only temporary to the extent that the city would change it and re-permit it to a DRA.
Okay.
So the temporary is really in the city's mind. From the water management district, it's either a drainage easement or it's not a drainage easement. They don't deal with temporary.
Well, the idea of the drainage retention area for that hangar, those three hangar locations, and I think that's how we need to look at it, versus, you know, taking the dirt and filling it in, to Mr. Peake's point, you don't really gain that much, but if we were doing it, they'd take the dirt out of there and move it over. But we could dig the other one and do this as a project, and I think it would fly on its own. With the three lots we got there, it would be, if he had come to us and he said, okay, you just got to do the, whatever you got to do, you don't have to worry about water, we're taking, the city's taking the water, it's already taken care of, then selling those other two lots,
well,
it's going to be very easy to do.
We got to find the dirt to fill this in, and if we dig it over here, it's a lot closer to
fill. Well, according to Albert, that didn't save you much?
Well, if your goal is to fill in the other one, heck yeah, it's nice to have that. It's just an expense to pick it up, and, you know, like this and that reality, he gives us numbers, like if I can bulldoze it, it's X. If I got to put it in a pan, it's X. You know, if I got to truck it, it's even more expensive. So, you know, whichever.
Well, you got to truck it, so you'd have to truck it there. Once you load it in the truck, their cost is about the same.
Yeah, but.
I mean, you could use scrapers because it's so close.
Yeah, you'd end up doing a little pan in there, mm-hmm. and then dump it. That'd be the middle one. Bulldozing
that
work in that case.
Oh. So I like the idea of doing that. To me and to the airport, to everybody else that's associated with this, that to me is a better location for that kind of hangar.
If that doesn't fly, if Dr. Pallmeyer is against that idea, I still like the discretion to move them to Alpha 7. Though.
Well, if that's all you can build there, then what's the downside?
Yeah. So it's no downside.
Okay.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you.
Motion
fair enough.
Second.
Okay. All right. Moving Moving on to fuel and ops. Operations in February were down compared to February 2016. Talking to the tower manager, it was a weird month. Just days of just incredible activity followed by days of not so much activity. Is that the best way to put it?
Yep.
Okay.
And last year was a week. There was one less day of traffic in the month of December.
Yeah, so we were, so February of 2016, we're at 5561, and February of 17, we were 5242. So,
almost just that one day of traffic. Very odd. You know, they were at 50, and then they were at 200. Some of it, I could have done that, was explainable that we had a lot of strong east-west winds.
This month, March, has been just incredible. Fuel sales for Shelterra are through the roof for jet fuel. Last week, we ran out of ramp space. We literally ran out of ramp space. We had a 727 that was coming in. We ended up doing the horse operation at Alpha 10. We used the apron that we constructed back in, 06, 07. Figured out a way to get the airplane in there, turned them around, and loaded the horses up at Alpha 10. It's not the ideal situation. The pilot didn't like it, but he understood. We'd have to close the taxiway to do it any other way. But we had Gulfstreams, we had Global Expresses, we had Challengers, we had lots of small and medium jets, we had a plethora of single engine pistons.
What call it, a horse sale?
We had, it was a combination of a horse sale that had been delayed several times. So there was a lot of activity, probably more so at the horse sale in March than we had in previous years. Because of the construction that they're doing across the street, they didn't even have an October sale, and I think the January sale was severely redacted or reduced. So March was a big month. We had that, we had hits, and then the Grand Prix at the go-kart track actually brought in some traffic that day as well. We also had Live Oak and the Chariot and the buggy races going on one weekend in March too. So it's, March has always been historically a fabulous month for operations for us. I'd be curious to see what the totals end up being. Fuel sales are doing really well for Shelterra for the month too. Last month, fuel sales were down 5.1%.
But March are going to be up.
March are going to be up. I did speak with Kyle about doing some sort of a special, Kyle being the general manager at Shelterra, about doing some sort of avgas special for Sun and Fun coming up, getting advertised as such, and they're willing to do that. Maybe we'll see some avgas traffic.
Mm-hmm. Well, since they're the FBO at Lakeland, that's a pretty good tie-in for them.
It is, and if they can spread the business around to other Shelterras, I think it's appreciated down there because they're just hammered during Sun and Fun. They're just busy all the time. So. We're hiring a part-time permanent maintenance worker. He'll be helping out with the airfield maintenance. Grass cutting. We'll start April 3rd. And that concludes my presentation.
You were alluding to the ramp space. That's what you were talking about there. Where there will be a future need for ramp space.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. And I go back to thinking about the apron expansion that we did back in, I think it was 09. It was around the time we did the runway work where we got rid of that dog leg that was in the ramp. And expanded about 100 feet out in front of the FBO here, and I think it was about 80 feet in the other areas. widened the taxi lanes, made it a lot safer on the ramp, got rid of those cables on the tie downs. If we hadn't have done that back in 09, we would have been in some dire straits. Wouldn't have any place to put aircraft. Closing taxiways, putting them up on the crosswind runway, I don't know.
Thing with that site, you know, we're coming one taxiway south. Now you come one more taxiway south, and then where we're putting the doctor's hangar could potentially be with grading, could be more ramps. So. But being in that north area, if we could make that work, he's already done a lot of work on that. I'd say that's ideal if he can make that work.
I'll see what I can do.
Any persons wishing to appear who are not on the agenda?
You got anything going on, Paul?
Little event that's taking place. We have a new president of West Avionics Incorporated, Amy Dennis, and her husband Tony is there. So they are the president and the general manager of West Avionics in Illinois.
So if I have a problem, who do I go to?
you're still the complaint department.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourselves, Dennis's.
Yeah.
We are from Peoria, Illinois. So you know, a couple of businesses. I've been working for him for 18 years. So anyway, he had an opportunity to make the investment, and so here we are. Coming out of here as an interest in aviation. I reap the benefits.
Got a great reputation.
Pretty lucky. We look around, of course, I have an interest in aviation. And that's for many years. So we looked around for different investments in aviation. So this opportunity came up. But we've done a lot of research on what's going on around here. Didn't come into this form. So I kept my aircraft at an airport near Peoria, which is Wilmington, about 26 miles an area. Just the difference between Price Charlie and Price Delta. So I am involved in the airport. I own the 45.
Well, we're getting there. AutoZone, FedEx, Chewy, and all the existing ones that are here. So every little bit helps.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, my first part. So, unfortunately, I had sold my airplane. I sold my PDM about 3 weeks ago. So we had to come down the airline to go between the planes. Really bad.
Yeah.
So we had to come into Sanford, and we went by the village because I didn't know my way up here. And I didn't ask Paul for directions. So we came across 441?
Yeah.
Yeah.
came by the villages as you were talking about that. I'm thinking to myself, I know how far it is, or what I perceive to be what it is from Sanford to the villages, and then from the villages to here. And it's a no-brainer. If I could have flown into here, even if I was going to the villages, it's half the time. There's no way it cannot. It was 45 minutes in the car to the villages.
Well, you can on the interstate.
You can know that.
Yeah, you get there quicker.
But I understand not everybody knows the way. So, but even so, it just seemed like we were here from, once we got to the villages, it took no time for the villages. Just my perception.
You got to see the world.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Welcome to Ocala, and welcome to the airport. Thank you. Anyone else? Comments by board members?
I'm good.
Okay. I would like to thank Mr. Peek for participating today. To those who don't know him, he's a long-term member of the airport board. He just happened to be here today. And I got to say, you couldn't have been here at a better board meeting because your expertise was very much needed. We appreciate
thank you.
So you were kind of a sit-in for McLaughlin. He didn't show up. Thank you. Thank you for your continued service.
Absolutely.
If there's nothing else, get a motion for adjournment.
Move.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, fun to be part of this.
Yeah. Hey. We actually do some things here sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
In spite of ourselves. I think if we can.